one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rant EM's coverage of the 2017 WWE Hall of Fame ceremony post-show. I'm your gracious host, the Impact player, Mr. Philly Raya. It is very late here on the East Coast. It's after midnight. It's already Saturday, which means we're one day away from the Super Bowl Sports Entertainment WrestleMania 33. Just got done watching the Hall of Fame ceremony. I stayed awake, barely. No one else did, though. Well, the kid did. The wife fell asleep. I was hoping to get her on for some commentary, but she's a little under the weather, so I'm going to have her rewatch it and give me her commentary when I see her. So, anyway. Alright. Before I take any calls, I just want to give a little brief synopsis of what went down tonight. So I was 20 minutes behind, about 18 minutes behind, I should say. And for some reason, during the Beth Phoenix thing, which thank God, because Natalia was terrible, we'll get into that in a few minutes. During the Natalia thing, my Apple TV decided to reset itself. So, of course, I had to go and put it back on again, and I was all caught up, so... Then you would have had this at 12:20 instead of 12 o'clock because I was like, you know, whatever. But, you know, I enjoy the Hall of Fame for the most part. But, of course, like any other award show that's live, it gets dragged out. So, obviously, you know, you give these people microphones and there's nothing to hold them back and they're going to talk. And sometimes their inductees talk a lot, and then the people who receive a lot, and then, like, they talk too. And, I guess because the way the wrestling business has been structured, there's so many, like, how do I say it without sounding silly, but all these stories that they have, and the wonderful things they want to share. I mean, everybody gave... they paid homage tonight to Dusty Rhodes so many times. Like, between Diamond Dallas Page and the Rock and Roll Express and Jimmy Cornette. Like, all these guys paid homage. And I think the lineage of performers that were in charge back in the day are going to have an influence for generations to come. So, that was pretty cool. But when you give these people microphones, they don't shut the fuck up, you know? But, and then some of them don't shut the fuck up and you don't want them to, you know? Take some Pepsi Max. I actually should have been drinking tonight. Because some of that stuff was just like, you know, was drawn out, you know? And it has nothing to do with the performer itself. Listen, we'll get into it. We'll talk about it, or, you know, as quickly as we can so we can get ready for the weekend. And there's a bunch going on here at Rant EM Radio, so just, you know, keep it locked. Keep it tuned, if you will. You want to call in, 718-878-6394, 718-878-6394, or you want to Skype, it's all one word, Throwbacks and Awfulness. Just talk about the Hall of Fame, and what'd you think about it? What was your favorite moments? What was your favorite, you know, anything. So, we could do that. And then, let's open up with DDP. That was fun. I enjoyed that. You know, DDP is one of these guys that, you know, like he said, it wasn't supposed to happen. You know, and his story's great. And he got a shot, and he took the shot and ran with it and became a multi-time world champion and a huge influence on the business. And then after the business, you know, the yoga thing worked out for him, and he started this, you know, this multi-million dollar business, and he's saved lives. You know, he saved that soldier's life. He saved, you know, one of my heroes, Jake the Snake, saved his life, saved Scott Hall's life. Working with current guys, Jericho offers a lot of his success now in his older age, middle age to DDP. I know AJ Styles does the DDP yoga. A bunch of guys do the yoga. You know, it's a good deal, man. And I'm glad DDP got in, man. I'm glad. And I used to have this conversation with my buddy Tank, God rest his soul, all the time. You know, he'd be like, oh, you know, when's this guy getting in? When's this guy getting in? When's this girl getting in? And we had this conversation with my wife on the way home. Everybody's going to get in. Everybody. It's just a matter of politics and how they're feeling at the time. And more importantly, what they can get out of you. You know, they're going to get a Kurt Angle DVD now. You're going to get a Diamond Dallas Page DVD coming out in a couple of weeks. You know, you're probably going to get a Rock and Roll Express Best Of, and you're probably going to get a bunch of shit, you know? And it's not far-fetched. You know, the popularity and the fans, I mean, they always take precedent, but in long scheme of things, it's money. You know, what can you get out of these guys? You know? You know, they can do... Everybody on the panel tonight could get, like, a Best Of DVD, or they're going to get network time, and a lot of people gave props to Jim Ross. I heard he signed a Legends contract, and he's going to do a call match tomorrow night, which is pretty cool. You know, but DDP was one of those guys that wasn't supposed to happen, and he did, and it was a good story. I enjoyed his work. I remember him managing Bad Company in the AWA, not thinking anything of it. Came WCW and did all the gimmicks with the Diamond Exchange and the Stud and the Diamond Girls and the Diamond Dolls, I should say. I didn't think he would be a wrestler. Matter of fact, I don't think he thought. I mean, he wanted to, but, you know, 35 years old, I mean, who does that? You know, it just goes to show you can do anything you want, man. Anything you want. God bless. So he gets in, and it's a fun deal. You know, it's like me watching the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Football or the Hockey Hall of Fame, basketball. Like, all your heroes now are starting to get in, so now you're showing your age. You're like, oh, shit, he gets in, I'm old. Like, this year's baseball is going to, like, you know, Tim Raines is getting in, and I'm like, oh, man, I am old. If Tim Raines is getting in, and I grew up watching Tim Raines, I'm old. So, I watch this, and I get depressed sometimes, you know, as I approach middle age. I'm like, oh, shit, you know, I'm getting old. But not as old as Diamond Dallas Page, tell you that. Anyway, but that was cool. I guess the highlight for me was Jimmy Cornette. And of course, we know the history. Jimmy Cornette, very bitter about the way WWE's been the last couple of years with him and everybody else. And, you know, and let me see here. And I just, you know, I was hoping that it, the way it went down, was the way it went down. I didn't want him to come on and carry on about what, you know, how he feels. And because listen, a guy in his position, you know, with a microphone is dangerous. Real dangerous. But let's bring on Double A, because he's actually there, man. So let's see what's going on with that. As my Skype is, there it is. What's going on, boss?
Caution. Road construction. Well, road closed.
Well, besides that message that just popped up, we are outside the Citrus Bowl right now, getting a first look at the obscene structure that is the entranceway. And I got to tell you, I took a video, and I'm going to be posting it for everybody to look at in the group page a little bit later on when I get a chance. But it is an obscene thing to see.
So
I saw the back of it, and it's massive.
So you can be, you can see the structure from where you are, then?
I was behind the structure. I was behind it completely.
I'm not mad at that hole over
there. No, it is just enormous. It's definitely the biggest thing they've ever done. The lights are all lit up and everything. You could see, and as I'm driving right now, and you can see in the rearview mirror, you can see the lights, because right now I'm driving away from the area, and also from the Amway Center, from the parking garage, you could see them testing the lights and all that stuff. So, I mean, the thing is, it's pretty big.
I'm excited, and rightfully so, man. I think the fans deserve the obnoxious structures and the grand entrances and stuff. I'm excited for that stuff, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be something to see, definitely on Sunday. Now, about tonight.
Yeah.
Oh boy. You know what? I got to comment on one thing, and it has nothing to do with the actual Hall of Fame. Has to comment. First of all, I gotta give big ups to the staff at the Amway Center. They are the nicest staff I think I've ever encountered when it comes to, I don't know, I'm looking at my taillights now, or my rearview mirror, the arena is doing something. But anyways, they are the nicest staff I think I've ever encountered at a wrestling show.
Yeah,
they're so nice. They were so helpful and everything. Easy to get you in and out of the building and this and that. Really nice.
I forgot the name of the name of the arena. I forgot it was. They changed it. That's where the Magic play, correct?
It's the Amway Center. It's the second arena, actually, because there used to be the Amway Arena, which used to be the original Orlando Arena, and that they tore it down.
The Big O. Okay.
So this is the new arena.
Okay. Okay.
And anyways, yeah, the Magic play there and everything. And we get there. I plop my big ass down in the seat, front row, in the club section of the arena. Okay, I'm hanging with the hoi polloi.
Look at you. The highfalutins.
These two obnoxious jerk-offs had to come and plunk themselves directly behind me.
Yep.
So, we're going to die for. Anyways, they plunked themselves behind me, and immediately, hey man, are you here because you're a wrestling fan? No, dipshit, I found the tickets in the parking lot.
Yeah, I want them on a contest. I want them on a radio show. Yeah. No.
Anyways, so that was the first thing, and then he started saying, "Well, who do you think the main event's going to be?" And this and that. So, tried to engage a conversation with me. And then they start talking about their sex lives between each other, of course, and whether or not, you know, such and such wife is looser after so many kids and this and that and all these things during the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yeah, no, this is not uncommon. I told you the obnoxious people we had behind us in NXT last year.
But this is like obscenely obnoxious. And then during the induction of the Rock and Roll Express is when they were really driving me up the wall. They had moved to another area in the section. And they kept saying, "Nobody knows who you are. Get off the stage, this and that." All this crap they were saying, because I guess all they were there to see was to see Kurt Angle, and they complained about everybody else.
That's insane.
I can't stand fans like that. I can't stand fans.
Nah, it's getting harder and harder to go to a live show, man. Thank God for the crew and the kid, man, because I can't deal with these newer fans. They're annoying my life.
Anyways, all in all, it was a good show. I enjoyed myself. Well, we enjoyed ourselves. And I don't know if you enjoyed yourself too much. You've got a headache. I thought it was good. There were some things that were long-winded.
Yeah, yeah.
What made and what didn't make air. There was a couple of things that Jim Cornette said. I don't know if everything made it out on air. But if they did, great. If they didn't, well, I guess I'll find out at some point what didn't make air. But I thought what Jim Cornette said was good. I thought what Ron Simmons and Bradshaw said was good. I heard you say something about the Beth Phoenix thing. I thought Natty spoke okay. Beth Phoenix thing was good. I thought the thing with Tony Chimmel was pretty epic.
I thought the Edge thing took away from her, you know, and I'm not a fan of Natty anyway, so it was hard for me to deal with. It was hard for me to listen to that, like, and not get up and get a bowl of ice cream and stuff. So, it wasn't terrible. It's like watching the Grammys, or like when my wife watches the Tony Awards, and they win an award, and they just, you know, they go over the time and. They don't put a time constraint on these guys. So, you know, it's their night. You let them talk, let them get it all out, and it's a 4 or 5 hour event, you know, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I texted you, man, and I was a couple minutes behind before my box reset, but Cornette, man, he was on point. And I told Choppity last night, I'm like, I hope Cornette just goes on and just talks and doesn't shoot and doesn't do anything obnoxious. And he did exactly what I wanted him to do, man. He gave the Rock and Roll Express they're doing, that was fantastic. I thought Rick Rude's son was great. I thought Rick Rude's son was great. And I thought DDP was super humble.
And, he was.
And I thought Steamboat was a bit out of place for Rude.
Steamboat was never a good talker, so I think even just so a simple task like this is even asking too much of Steamboat.
Yeah, I thought, you know, they should have tagged Paul Heyman for that. You know, he managed Rick Rude. He worked for him in two different companies. I thought Paul Heyman. I thought Eric Bischoff did well for DDP. You know, John Cena again takes one on the chin from these obnoxious fans, and he just rubs it off and just does. He is probably he's a professional, man. That dude, he's rock solid, man. God bless him.
Yeah. Well, I am going to, I'm in the middle of driving, and I'm somewhere here in Central Florida, in the area where Tony C probably told me not to go, and because I'm looking for a burrito, because it is 12:19, and, you know, our stomachs are empty, but I just wanted to call in and give you my synopsis of the Hall of Fame. It was very entertaining, very enjoyable, except for those two assholes. And that's that. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Well, it's already Saturday.
Yes, yeah,
I'll see everybody in about 6 and 12, about 18 hours time.
Yeah, 5 p.m.
For the rant.
Yeah, you and Tony C, 5 p.m. tomorrow, man. Tonight.
Yep. So. Yep, Tony C with his, I don't know, I haven't spoke to Tony C. I was supposed to call him today. I'll call him tomorrow morning. I don't know if he's still got a hole in his foot after stepping on that nail the other day. But we'll see. Either way, Tony C will be in studio tomorrow. First time that me and him get to broadcast the show together in the same room. So that's exciting. We're gonna have some good fun and laugh and things like that. And I'm sure I'll be a little bit more lively tomorrow and talk more shit about these two people behind us.
Yeah, no, it's well, boss. I'm glad you had a good time. Get some headache powder for the wife, and you guys get your bellies filled and have a good night, man.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, ciao.
Later, man.
All right, that was Double A checking in from the Hall of Fame from Central Florida on his way back to his hotel. And there you go. There you have it. So the fans, obnoxious as ever. The fans hijack everything. And hello to everybody in the chat room. Shaylin, I see you. I see everybody in the chat room. Everybody who's listening in anonymously. I'm half asleep, so I'm not paying attention to the chat room, so I'm sorry. But anyway. Yeah, so getting back to just piggybacking to what Double A was saying about the fans, you know, just the professionalism some of these guys that have to sit up there on a podium and just the chants and the screaming and carrying on. And listen, I know you paid for your ticket. I know you're entitled. But it's a special night, man. Get these guys their due. Like, you don't see people yelling at the Grammys, like, yeah, go Adele. Yeah, you're the best, we love you. You don't really hear that anywhere else but at a wrestling show, you know? And there's so much going on now at these events, and there's a whole weekend now, a whole week dedicated to this shit now, you know? 1 year I'll experience it. I promise you I will. 1 year I'll make it to one of these out-of-state WrestleMania events. And I'm not going to be that obnoxious fan. But anyway, back to the Hall of Fame. So, you know, DDP was good. And Jim Cornette stole the show for me. He did exactly what I wanted him to do. I was telling Choppy this the other night. I was like, I just hope Cornette just comes out there, does his thing. And, you know, Jim Cornette can talk. And he gave the best send-off to the Rock and Roll Express. And I was having a conversation with my son tonight. And I said, you know, you really should pay attention to these guys a little more often. You know, when you guys talk about your tag team wrestling and you play your video games and, you know, you're looking at the stuff every day. Rock and Roll Express, hands down, top 5, top 10 greatest tag teams of all time. They got their due tonight. And everything Cornette said about them was true. And these are the two of the most humble guys on the planet that are in their 60s and they're still doing it. You know? And it was cool for me as a fan to see that. Like, I caught them right when they got to Jim Crockett. I didn't know about Mid-South and stuff and all that stuff prior, before I started tape trading. Excuse me. But tape trading for me, and I caught them at the right time when the NWA was getting replayed on UHF channels here in New York locally. But the Rock and Roll Express, man, they were an amazing team. And Jim Cornette did a great job. I hope they retain Cornette. I hope him and the Express get in. Him and the Midnight Express get in. Because it's deserved. These teams set the tone for everything you see now. Every single thing you see now, these tag teams set the tone. So, you guys want to call in 718-878-6394. 718-878-6394. Skype, Throwbacks and Awfulness, all one word. And we're doing the post show right now for the WWE 2017 Hall of Fame. And again, I'm Phil Rea, and I'm hanging out with you for a few more minutes, and then I'm going to bed. I myself have to set up today for Sunday. In about 12 hours, I got to set up. And we have a big show on Sunday for you guys, so it's going to be kick ass from our party. So we're having a party with the party. So tune into that, and I'll plug all that shit at the end of the show. Rick Rude. And I just mentioned this Double A. As much as I love Ricky Steamboat, my admiration for Steamboat Double A's right. He's not a good talker. For somebody who was charismatic as Rick Rude, and for somebody who was over the top as Rick Rude was, somebody as laid back and monotone as Ricky Steamboat really didn't give the oomph that needed. That needed a Paul Heyman touch. Paul Heyman needed to be to have inducted Rick Rude into the Hall of Fame. Seriously, think about it. He worked for him in WCW, worked with him in ECW. I mean, it made sense, and Paulie could talk. But I guess just being the advocate for Brock Lesnar, he's not doing much. And he does some stuff for the network, but not really as much as he should be. But I thought his son was awesome. His wife looked good, you know, for her age, and she probably was quite the looker back in the day. His daughter looked just like him. Scary. The daughter looked just like him. And then, of course, they paid homage to their fallen, their deceased son. You know, real classy, the Rude family. And they got it, you know. And the son did a really good job. My wife mentioned, oh, he's still good looking. Oh, yes, he was good looking. Tall and handsome. That's that was the theme of the Rude family. Tall and handsome. Yeah, so it is what it is. What else? Let me see here. Check my notes. I did not like Natalya at all. I know they're best friends, and I know, you know, it was right for her to do. I don't know. For me, it looked too scripted. And if that's my best friend, I don't need to be scripted, you know. And I'm not saying Natty scripted anything, but, you know, it's like, oh, you know, and she basically tried to put herself over with the Instagram thing, and then she worked in the whole Beth Phoenix thing, and listen, to be perfectly honest with you, you know, I'm kind of like, I don't want to say biased, but since I don't like the people involved in this particular induction, like, I just can care. You want to listen, but they don't really have anything interesting that I want to hear. Like, I can care less about their friendship. I mean, no disrespect to them at all. I was never a Beth Phoenix fan. I'm definitely not a Natty fan. I'm not a women's wrestling fan, to be honest with you, all that much. But she gave her best friend her due, which was cool. And I guess if I was going into a Hall of Fame, I'd want one of my best friends to induct me. You know what I'm saying? It's only right. But here's the kicker. Beth Phoenix puts the husband over, puts Edge over, and has Tony Chimble come out and does the whole announcing thing. And I think they wanted Edge to come on stage, but Edge had a fucking toddler on his lap, and he just didn't. It looked like he didn't even expect to come up there, you know? So that was kind of awkward to have everybody stand up for Edge and have his music playing. And I'm like, that was me, man. I would have been pissed. It's about me tonight. It ain't about you. You got your Hall of Fame ring, man. Now let me get mine. But, you know, and I was telling my wife this in the car, you know, on the other side, to play devil's advocate, Beth Phoenix did a lot in a very, very short period of time. You know, trendsetter. Looks wise, won a ton of matches, had a ton of first matches, women's table match, women's, you know, submission match, I quit matches, all of the shit. And more importantly, she won championships. Like, so I think her getting a rub and a Hall of Fame nod at early this stage of the game, I think it's a credit to her, man. She was a talent. The Royal Rumble thing was pretty cool. But other than that, I mean, you know, people were complaining. And I was like, I told my wife, I'm like, you know, it's not. It basically, when you think about it, it makes sense business wise, you know. And listen, politics will prevent accountability in anything you do in life, whether it's professionally, whether it's personally, all of it. So she, not that she politicked, but probably she's, you know, that big on the chain, on the food chain. She's probably a, you know, was a big deal backstage, probably, you know, influenced a ton of people, and probably was an ultimate company person. So Beth Phoenix was a first in a lot of things. So they acknowledged her. And you know, every year you get like that one Hall of Fame. You're like, really? That soon? This already? Like, really? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's basically it with that. You know? The Teddy Long thing, I thought was classy. I thought Bradshaw and Farouk did a great job. And they paid a tribute to their friend, and I like the insight. I didn't know Teddy Long had to deal with that much oppression where he's from. I didn't know he was from that part of the world. I know he got arrested during the civil rights movement. I didn't know any of that stuff. That was cool. That was cool that he's cheap. I thought that was pretty cool. That was cool. He got a ticket, and he didn't even drink. That was cool. And I thought the tribute that Bradshaw and Simmons gave him were really good. You know, and JBL, as much as I don't like him as, I didn't like him as a wrestler really that much, he's well-spoken. He's a smart dude. So that was pretty cool. And then Teddy Long comes out. And Teddy Long was like, listen, I know the deal. I'm not going to be out here talking for 10 hours. He went out there and he did his thing, man. He was like, he thanked everybody and kept it short and sweet. And I guess that's because he realized where he was, you know, in terms of time. I'm sure if this was the opening, if he was the opener, he would definitely been like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to talk for 20 minutes. But you know what? Maybe he didn't. And that just shows the character of Teddy Long, and I always enjoyed Teddy Long. Always enjoyed. I loved him with Doom. I loved him with the Skyscrapers. I loved him with Mark Merrow. I loved him with Ice Train and Scotty Norton. Who else did he manage? He managed Mark Henry. He did Jazz and Rodney Mack with the White Boy Challenge, which to me was a little racy at the time. And I kind of took offense to it at the time, but I understood why. Because if it was the other way around, playing a race card, I wound up being on Will Morgan's show on Saturday nights, you know, defending myself. But, yeah. And then he did the SmackDown thing, and I thought that was fantastic. They called him, and they called him out on his tag team shit, which was hysterical. So, shout out to that, man. That was really good, you know. So, you know, these awards ceremonies for me are fun because of the stories. Like, you get some of that in sports, but with sports entertainment, you get a lot of it, you know. And you get some insight of the person, not the performer. And for me anyway, that's just, it's the coolest. You know, it's the coolest. I was a little disappointed in Kurt Angle. I thought it'd be a little better. The ending was cool with the milk and shit. That was fun. He did a couple of his skits. That was pretty cool. I thought he would be a little more in depth with the career thing. Like, I thought he would be a little more serious about it. But let's be honest, the man's been through hell and back. and he trying to get his life together, and they gave him the nod. And another guy who, you know, had a hidden talent. He had personality. Like, you knew he can wrestle, like, for real, and then for script. But now he has, he's a character, he's a complete person. He's a complete package. And that's very, very rare in these days. And we've talked about that on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and we talked about that on The Rant and The Shining Wizards. There are not a lot of performers anymore that, you know, are a complete package. So when you have guys that are still around that did stuff, a lot of stuff, in their tenure, and you acknowledge them. Straight up, acknowledge them. You have to excuse me, I'm dragging ass over here, but I'll stay on a few more minutes. I'm going to stay on a few more minutes. Anybody want to call in real quick? If not, I'm going to wrap it up soon. It's 718-878-6394, 718-878-6394, or Skype, all one word, Throwbacks and Awfulness. Anyway, yeah, getting back to Kurt Angle. So, I was a little disappointed, but I understood it. Like, I don't want to really pick apart these things every year. I really don't, you know. You know, it's not like the jerk-offs that are in the crowd that they, you know, they pick apart every single aspect of a show and every single aspect of the matches. Like, you know, even with the speeches and the stories, you still want to suspend yourself a little bit. You do. You really do. And it's a part of my tradition now with the family of watching it, and it's been every year it gets better and better. I didn't catch the red carpet this year. I was out with family having dinner. So, I don't know. I like it. I like the way it's done. I like the way it's produced. Everybody looks so nice and dressed, and you get to see like the wives and the girlfriends of a lot of the performers, which is cool. So some of them are really hot. Some of the husbands of the female performer, or the boyfriends of the female performers, like, you're like, oh man, like Enzo and Kaz had some nice candy with them, right? They were cute, you know. Big Show's got a cute wife. She was there. You know, a lot of, you know, and Renee Young looks smoking hot tonight with her dress. She looked fantastic. And the brunette chick, I forgot her name, the other chick from the backstage interviews, she was delicious looking too. So, you know, you get flavor all over the place. And the dude's dressed up from, except for Mick Foley, comes in a fucking Hawaiian shirt. And I get it, but put a suit jacket on, man. It's the Hall of Fame. You don't have to be in character all the time. Put a fucking suit jacket on, man. You know? Like, if I'm going to the Hall of Fame, as a guest, I'm dressing up. Like, as a guest, I'll probably wear a suit jacket, you know? Just out of respect. You know? When you accept an award, do you wear a fucking tank top and sandals? No. When the college kids win the Heisman, do they come in with their jerseys on? No, of course not. Baseball and football, you get special jackets. Especially football, you get a green jacket. You get a gold jacket, whatever it's called. You know, you get a special jacket. You know. So, and one day we'll have a physical Hall of Fame, which I'm looking forward to. They should put that where the Performance Center is in Florida. Or they should put it up in Connecticut where Titan Towers is. Give these guys give the fans something to visit, you know? Don't just give me the fucking inductions at some arena now and then have them come out tomorrow at Mania. I want to see plaques and interactive screens and a gift shop with a ring inside, you know? That's the shit I want to see. I want to see that kind of shit. But all in all, it was a good ceremony. It was fun to watch. You kind of lost me at the end there because I've been up all day. I'm exhausted. But, you know, you really do have a sense of how it's gotten in the last at least a decade, how big it's gotten, you know. And now with the network, it's even better. Between the corporate coverage and now the post coverage now and everything. And even internet podcasting networks are dedicating time to it, you know. So it's fun. All right, well, I'm just about done with this. I'm 40 minutes in and I basically said my piece. I'll give you guys another couple of minutes if you want to call in. 718-878-6394. I want to Skype. It's all one word, Throwbacks and Awfulness. And I'll give you another minute or two. If not, then I'm just going to plug the shows and call it a night. So, but yeah, man, I really like... oh, good night, Chandlin. You know, I don't know, man. I like a good party. And this is like a whole weekend party, man. This is good fun. And the Hall of Fame is sometimes better than WrestleMania the last couple of years, to be perfectly honest with you. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. And I just, you know, I'm just a fan for so many years who wants to hear a good story. I love telling stories on my show every week, cheap plug. And I like to, you know, I like to hear stories too. And I think this is a great platform for that. That's why I like baseball too. When you listen to their stories, it's like, and the uniqueness of them all. Not everybody had the same background, and not everybody came up the same way. And with the older guys, you pay your dues. You did the territories, and you worked your way up, and you schmoozed, and you got with the good. And the promoters saw that, and they brought you back, and it was a happening. But you know, it's and I'm sure the new guys and girls are in the crowd going, man, I hope one day to be up there. And if you're not you know, if you're not aspiring to be on that podium, you're just not. You're as cold as ice, as Foreigner would say. You know, I'm sure a lot of the locker room for both SmackDown and Raw was sitting there with their spouses going, man, one day I'm going to be up there. One day. And I hope they all are. I hope they all have a great career. I hope they do wonderful things with their life. And I hope the Hall of Fame gets bigger and better. And I really, really, like I said, I really do hope to get a physical building. Because then you would solidify everything. Like, that'd be so fucking cool to go to a building and see all that shit. Like, the Andre statues and... And is that warehouse that Joey Styles did the YouTube clips on a couple of years back, where all the stuff that's from the past are in the storage facility, put some of that in the Hall of Fame. Boots and turnbuckles and banners and, you know, pieces of mats and old title belts and make busts or plaques like football and baseball do. And hockey does. Be the shit. Anyway. Alright. So I guess nobody's calling in. I'm going to start wrapping this up. And we'll call it a night. But anyway. Play some Kurt Angle for you. Alright. Don't forget tomorrow night. 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On The Rant. You're going to have another episode of The Rant. I think it's episode 495, I think it's going to be. That means five more till 500 for Tony C and Double A. And then there's no call-in show tomorrow night because Will Morgan's going to be on tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock with the wrestling call-in show as he counts down the episodes to his last show to the new stuff kicks in next week. And then, of course, on Sunday after Will Morgan, you got myself and Choppy with the Mega Powers and the Domingos and a bunch of other cast of characters as we do a special episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks for the pre-show for WrestleMania 33. We're going to talk about our favorite WrestleMania moments, our favorite matches. We have a couple of awards to give out. And, of course, we'll give our predictions to Mania. And we'll be playing some video games online, too. Go to twitch.tv/theturnbuckletheTurnbuckleThrowmax. We're going to be doing some streaming of some WWE 2K17 and some N64 wrestling games. So don't forget to tune into that. And then, of course, stay with us after WrestleMania, where I believe Will Morgan's going to be doing the post-show, which would be cool. And hopefully we'll all get the call in. I'll probably be sleeping, but because I'm old. So, on behalf of Rant EM Radio, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu. Hope you guys had a good, great Hall of Fame night. And the weekend's only about to get better. Just stay locked into the Rant. RantEMRadio.com. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, of course. Go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. Cheap plug. And enjoy, man. I'm out of here. Peace.